Well, welcome. It is good to see you here as we kick off the 2022-23 legislative session. I have the honor of introducing myself. I'm Mark Johnson, newly elected Republican Senate Caucus leader today. I am flanked by some of my colleagues who are also been elected to Senate leadership in that capacity. So we have Senator Bill Weber, Senator Karen Housley, Senator Justin Eichhorn, and Senator Coleman. We have really spent a lot of time here today going through what we believe is going to be a great session, organizing our caucus to prepare for a new role in the Minnesota State Senate. So we have a number of things that we want to discuss going forward, but a lot of our priorities are what we went out and we door knocked and we were talking to people. That's about getting the surplus back to Minnesotans. Minnesotans pay those taxes, let's get that money back to Minnesotans. It's also about public safety. How do we make people feel safer? Mom's going to the store, dad's going to work, how do we make them feel safer? We also want parent and student success. That's a priority for us, and we are dedicated to ensuring that we do our part in making sure that the bills coming through the Senate reflect those priorities. And finally, we want to make sure that we are doing permanent ongoing tax relief and holding the Democrats accountable for their promises that they had through the session that they wanted to cut taxes as well. So we want to see those permanent ongoing tax relief week after week, month after month, and year after year. So with that, we're happy to take some questions. Of course, we haven't gotten into policy. We haven't done that. Today was all about organizing the caucus. And we're at a good spot with that. So any questions regarding that or anything else?
The things you listed off and holding Democrats accountable for the promises they made through the session, there was that deal on the table. Is that deal ready to be moved as it died at the end of session?
Well, you know, those are discussions that former Senate Majority Leader Miller had with his counterparts on that. We still have some time left in the session as him as leader, so that's discussions that they're going to have to be taken into account. We're looking at the next session coming up. That's what this leadership team is. Right.
When you begin the next session, let's say it's none of that's been acted upon.
We'll take it one day at a time. That's something we're going to have to look at going forward.
Senator, you have some experience in dealing with a very tiny majority, and now the DFL is going to have to do that. Having just a one-seat minority is not a horrible place to be because you only need to pick off a vote or two on any given issue. How do you plan to manage that?
Right. I think one of our biggest things is ensuring that we're talking to Minnesotans, making sure that we're having those communications to know what their priorities and needs are. And then we can go to those events where we're taking votes on the floor or in committee and being able to say, hey, here's what Minnesotans are telling us. Why aren't you doing that, Senate DFL? We want to make sure that we're holding them accountable to the Minnesotans across the state. So, yeah, that's a really good question. We're going to hold tight. We're going to be a strong 33. We've done this for a long time now, for the last 6 years. So I'm pretty excited. We've had a lot of experience within those small margins.
So you won't have a rump caucus from Draskowski then?
We are so excited about every one of our members. They are fantastic people.
So you did all gather this morning for the first time, the new members, and so can you just tell us a little bit about what that was like with the new people coming in?
Sure. So everybody's hot off the campaign trail. So it's really fun because they're bringing the ideas. They've knocked doors. I think Senator Abler had 21,000 doors that he knocked this year. I mean, it's amazing the amount of contacts and information and data points that we're pulling back from those discussions. So today was really a good debrief on what can we adjust, how can we make those adjustments. And the fun thing is, a lot of the things that we were talking about, you know, putting more money back in Minnesotans' pockets, making the streets safer, doing those things for students that will improve their success, those were the things that we heard over and over and over. 21,000 times, I think, for Abler. So, yes, I think we're going to be focusing on those things.
What are some areas you think you can work with Democrats on come next year?
Yeah, so again, that's going to be one of those day-by-day issues. I think that we've got a number of things. We all care about Minnesotans. And so where those interests overlap, and the priorities overlap, we're going to try very, very hard to be working with them and be a real team with them on getting those over the finish line.
Can you reflect a little bit on the outcome of Tuesday's elections and the fact that you guys are now here in the minority and not the majority?
Yeah, I think it was a break that could have gone either way. It was a national thing, and specific races I can't comment on. That's all local issues. So whether it's a candidate, whether it's a strategy, we were so close. You know, if you look at that, we're a few hundred or a thousand votes away in switching the majority on either way. So I don't think we can take away any particular lesson on a given race or anything, but it was a disappointing night for the caucus, but an interesting night.
Senator Benson mentioned that Gen Z may be a sort of a weaker area for the Republican caucus. Will that be something that you think about going forward, about these younger voters that voted? And then, the fact that there are more and more younger voters coming, every election cycle.
Well, are they Minnesotans?
Yeah,
Minnesotans. We care about them. We want to get to know them. We want to see what their needs are. And things are changing. That's why if you look at the faces up here, we try to spread out as far as who are we representing, what groups are we representing, the younger groups, the older groups. We want to know what people are thinking. And Gen Z, if they feel left out, that's a group that we're going to be paying a lot of attention to, too. So, absolutely. If they're Minnesotans and they have a say in this country, in this state, we're with them.
Many of us know you, but not in a leadership role. Can you just talk a little bit about how you plan to preside over the caucus and a little bit about yourself personally and your style?
Well, yeah, I guess we could talk a little bit about that. So, I'm far northwest Minnesota. The joke that I can always tell, it's the dad joke, is I am the number one district in Minnesota, which has been a very, very neat area to get to be, to know, to understand. That's where I grew up in the Crookston area up there. So I've got War Road, Roseau, Thief River Falls, that neck of the woods. But the way that we do things, Senator Miller was very good at this when he was majority leader, and also, well, he's still majority leader, but also Senator Gazelka was communicating. How do we communicate with the caucus? How do we communicate with the press? How do we communicate with the House? It's about communication, and not one-way communication, but getting that back and forth so you know how to adjust and pivot. And they were very good, and I plan on doing very, very similar things going forward.
Your Democratic peers have said one of their top priorities in 2023 will be codifying the right to an abortion. What are your thoughts about that, and do you think Minnesotans align with that priority?
Again, that's something I haven't seen, a bill or language, and we'll take that one day at a time.
For the infrastructure spending requires matching funds, and some of that would be through bonding, which would require Republican support, bipartisan support. One of the projects that comes up a lot is the Duluth direct train, and so I know some people in your caucus supported that and others didn't. Do you know where you're going to be on that?
No. Today was simply an organizing caucus, and that'll be a priority we evaluate.
And I know you're still trying to work on your agenda and whatnot, but again, your counterparts are saying things like legalizing marijuana and sports gambling, those types of things are likely to be on the agenda, both in the House and Senate. Where does your caucus, do you have any idea where your caucus stands on those issues?
Yeah, so no bills have been dropped on that for the 23 session. So we haven't seen any language. Again, that's something that we're going to be evaluating as a caucus, because we communicate what our constituents want to see. We're going to see what the needs are, whether it's Gen Z or the older generations. It's something that we highly communicate at the time when we see the language. So again, I can't give you any specifics on that until it happens.
Okay. Your caucus was the bulwark against Democratic control for the last couple of years. How you guys voted was the only thing holding back the agenda of the Democrats. What's your message to Republicans out there who sort of out of habit might be looking to Senate Republicans to please save us from the Democratic agenda? What's your message to them today?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. I mean, we are going to be communicating with them as well. And, here are the bills that are coming up. Here's how we're voting, and here's why we're voting on those. We just have to have that open communication. And and that's going to be a top priority for us. And right now that we're in, you know, we're one member short of a majority, that's going to be our strategy, is making sure that we're constantly communicating with constituents and each other through this process.
Would you support any changes to the rules that prevent you from making direct eye contact with other senators during debates, board debates?
That's kind of an obscure question, but I don't foresee it. But anyways, it's yeah, I kind of like not having to look at people. You know, it's good, but
appreciate it. Inflation reports today say inflation's down, and still overly high. Are you guys wanting to get, is there any bills you're wanting, rebate checks, Social Security tax cuts? You know, anything specific like you guys are thinking on inflation?
Sure. So what we want to do as a Senate Republican caucus is make sure that we are communicating, talking about what we want to see. But I think for the most part, our priorities is getting money back to Minnesotans, reducing taxes, you know, making sure there's safe streets, and that parents and children are feeling safe at school and they're progressing in school. I mean, inflation's a big issue, and it's something that we wish that we could do more about at this point. But again, we had an organizing caucus today, and we don't want to move beyond that.
Your caucus was opposed to the rebate checks. Are you more open to that now that the governor was proposing?
Again, you know, it was an organizing caucus, and we need to.
This is a pretty broad issue. I think you all know where you stand on that issue. Can you
Tom,
speak
I,
to
I
that?
Appreciate that, but I can't speak on behalf of the caucus. We haven't had no communication since, you know, during this election season on these type of issues within the caucus, especially with the new members. So I appreciate that question, but I just can't answer that.
Are you, I have time for one or two more here.
Are you generally in favor of organizing caucuses?
Give us something.
Caucus, yes. All right.
I won't have that against
Did Senator Miller train you on the week after week, month after month, year after year? Was that a little pep talk before you got in?
We can talk about that later. I just think it's a really good idea.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.